Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome to Face to Face. This is a show about change and about what's next. It's a show that wants to ask questions, peel back the layers of our average everyday experience, and go beyond scratching the surface. We interview amazing people with incredible ideas and stories who have done wild, weird, and wonderful things. Remember that imagination shared creates collaboration, and collaboration creates community, and community inspires social change. I'm David Peck, and this is Face to Face. My next interview is with Yasmin Sandarelli, and we talk about her new film, The Night of All Nights. Fascinating film about love. It's about relationships. It's about living life together. It's about this idea of sharing. And Yasmin asks so many questions about what it means to be on cloud nine. What is love? What is this idea of romanticism? And time and again, we come back to this idea of humility and patience in relationships, and a question that continues that we have to ask, not only through the interview but also through the film itself, is, you know, what makes up a valuable relationship? What really counts in a relationship? This is a film that's going to get you asking new questions, I hope, about the person that you're with and about the person that you might be with someday down the road. It's a beautiful film where she steps into the lives of four relationships, eight men and women from around the world, and she crosses cultures in a really, truly remarkable way. A brilliant and beautiful film all about relationships and about living in a community in a very honest and transparent and particular way. You are going to be changed as a result of seeing this film, The Night of All Nights, coming right up, a conversation with Yasmin Sandarelli. We also want to remind you, I actually really want to remind you about davidpecklive.com. Don't forget that more information there about my writing and speaking, and also facetofacelive.ca for many other interviews about a little bit of everything. And don't forget, you can come alongside what I'm doing here at Face to Face and do that through patreon.com and donate to the cause and support the work that I'm trying to do here by providing great conversations. We'll see you soon, hopefully, in the digital and face-to-face world. But coming right up, The Night of All Nights with Yasmin Sandarelli. Well, welcome to Face to Face. We're joined today by a very special guest, a filmmaker here with us at Hot Docs today to talk about her new film, The Night of All Nights. Yasmin Sandarelli is here with us to dive into a conversation about love and marriage and relationships. Yasmin, thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So first of all, Yasmin, I just want to say congratulations and welcome to Hot Docs and welcome to Toronto, and what a lovely, delightful and frankly challenging film on so many levels.
Oh, thank you. Was that a question now?
No, there's no question yet. I just wanted to see what your reaction might be. So Yasmin, tell me about the film. Tell our listeners about the film. I've had the fortune of seeing it. It's about relationships. It's about, you know, you open up the film with this beautiful line. I think it's from maybe Bill or Norman. You follow these four couples, And Bill or Norman says something about finding someone and loving someone. And I kind of reflected back on that opening line and just thought, isn't kind of that what life is all about? Finding someone to share our life with, whether it's, you know, a partner or a friend or whatever. Anyway, would you mind talking a little bit about the film and for our listeners, just to provide some context?
Yeah, sure. We made a movie, and I'm saying we because I work together with my sister, and obviously you don't make a movie by yourself, since it's,
right,
of course, a lot of great people who are involved in my making this movie. So we made a movie about people who are, who spent more than 50 years together, since from my perspective, and I think most younger people, and I'm not so young, but, you know, it feels like this is something so rare.
Right.
And most of us have, obviously, grandparents where it was normal that they would stay together for, like, most of their life or all their life. And so we were wondering, you know, how does it work 50 years together? Is this something... like, why doesn't it work so much anymore? Like, because I think most of us would agree that we live in fast times, so there are a lot of relationships we go through. Some are very short, some it's quite more likely that they're more shorter than longer. So yeah, we were wondering, well, what is happening? And obviously, not meaning that it's something negative,
right,
but we were really trying to be open and say what has changed, and obviously just to talk to the people, you know, who did manage, like, well, why did you stay together? How did that happen? Is it really a success? Is it something where, because there was also an aspect about the documentary where obviously it's also, because I think all of us know couples where you feel they're together, but that doesn't mean that they're happy.
Or that they're actually in love necessarily.
Exactly.
Right.
So as we all know, love and being in love and being married, such different aspects to it. And so we wanted to dive into that. We wanted to see, is there something which makes it easier to stay together, or how did these four couples actually manage? So it's also about just this eight human beings,
right,
and how they encountered love, how they encountered falling in love, and how they deal with everything which comes after that.
What's so amazing to me about the film is you, and again, and as my listeners will know, I say this often, any kind of great documentary for me, or any kind of great film or story or piece of art, works on so many different levels, and you've touched so many. I mean, from, you know, relational, and we could talk about the philosophy of love. You know, we could talk about racism, you know, and classism. I mean, you bring so many different issues into the film, and I think it's a beautiful reminder of, frankly, what most of us really are living, you know, on a day-to-day basis. But sometimes, like you said, you know, we live in fast times. We're living in such a hyper-like manner. We miss some of those really significant details that are so beautiful and simple. And I think that's one of the marvelous things about your film, The Night of All Nights.
Oh, thank you. I think it was really something where, when I asked my grandmother and that generation, I realized, when I asked her, saying, did you love my grandfather?
Right.
You know, she was just like almost like laughing at me, thinking, and you could tell she thought it. She looked at me like as if to say, "Silly girl, what a silly girl." Not to, but more like than to say, you know, you ask like a bit like the wrong question, because she said he was a good man and a good husband,
right,
and a good father.
Mm.
And I felt like, oh, that's interesting, her answer, you know, because I was, and I think like most of us, I was quite like in this. In this like Hollywood kind of
right,
and they lived happily ever after kind of thing, right? Where you think you meet the right person, and you know it's the right person because everything afterwards is just brilliant,
right? Right.
Love, you know.
Yes, Yasmin, are you a romantic? Would you say?
Yes, I would say yes, but I would say I'm fighting it.
You're fighting. Why are you fighting it?
I think it's because it can be painful. Being romantic can be painful because you open up, you fall in love with someone else, and that person can hurt you. That person can say no to you, or that person can be actually also not the person you thought the person.
That's right.
So that's sure. So love is so complex. And I found out there's obviously such a big difference between being in love and love. You know, it's so different that almost you could say they don't have much to do with each other. It's just that we sometimes mistake being in love, this beautiful having butterflies in your stomach.
Right, and, sure.
You yeah. know, and we in Germany, we say like to be on cloud seven.
Right. So like cloud seven, yes, cloud nine.
Oh, it's not cloud nine. Yeah. And I, you know, sometimes it's a bit like a lot of people who are, you know, we started Romeo and Juliet, and then you just suddenly end up doing dishes, taking, you know, so it's a funny thing, that thing about being in love, where your hormones are, you know, you just are crazy, and you really can't think, you can't see probably. And then actually living love is so much different. That.
Well, there's something, you know, it's, you really bring it out so beautifully in the film that there's this, and I think, I'm not sure if it's who it is at near the end of the film, maybe, is it Heinz and Hildegard, where she says something about, you know, having someone you can just argue with, you know, taking these things for granted. And,
yeah.
and there's something so practical about these relationships, all of them, frankly, where, you know, I love Bill and Norman, how, you know, he won't take his hat off. Right. Like there's just these bits of business. And then I think, somebody talk about, you know, she could push a wheelbarrow, you know, therefore,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
So that's a good thing, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, there's just this real utilitarian approach to love and to, or to relationship, I guess, to marriage.
Yes. I think it really helped me, like, also to see there is something which we think it's little, where we think like, oh, no, it's only the big feelings count,
right,
only the butterflies,
right,
only
right.
cloud nine count. But no, it's actually other things which are very important.
Mm.
And like, you know, I guess, you know, since we are everyone is unique, all, you know, these two unique people have to find their way to each other and like keeping seeing each other. So that's like the big challenge of being in a relationship, like, do we still see each other, and do we still reach each other?
Yeah, do we actually see each other is such a great question, isn't it? Like, do we actually really take the time to see one another in a relationship? Yeah, it's wonderful.
Do we really realize where, you know, sometimes something, because everyone knows that, it's like this everyday life, it eats you up a bit, right? Like the routine of bringing children to there or doing your job, being stressed out about things, you rush into your home, you just want to get rid of your stress and talk about, you know, so you just talk about yourself. But then do we really then maybe just for a moment hold in and say, actually, what did you eat for lunch? You know, how, you know, like this, just really trying to really be there, not just like this blah, blah kind of conversation way, but actually really like give the other person the moment to say, honestly, I just want to now know about you.
Right.
What do you think? What do you feel right now? It's difficult. It's very difficult to do that in everyday life.
I think, too, the other thing that's, I mean, I said to my wife, Elizabeth, this morning, I said, I think every couple around the world needs to see this film. I want my kids to see it very soon, because, I mean, it just raises so many wonderful, not just questions, but I think insights into what it means to think of others, you know, to be kind of, I mean, whether or not it's right, I don't know, but to be selfless in relation to other people. I mean, if you are going to exist in any kind of household or community or job, I mean, isn't life kind of a series about like accommodating others to some degree? Right?
Mm-hmm.
I think it is. And again, you bring this out so beautifully in the film, and that, you know, it's about these series of choices that we make. And I'm not sure, but one of the, I think, is it Shigeko? Is that how you pronounce his name?
Shigeko, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And he said giving up wasn't an option for him.
Okay,
right?
Yeah, that's Isao.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah,
Shigeko
right.
Shigeko is the woman, but no, that's all right. Yeah, but yes, exactly. It's like giving up is not an option. And that's interesting, right? Because I think it's also, we didn't want to make a documentary about, like, you know, oh, if you just stay together, everything is correct, everything is
right,
fine.
Right, right.
That's not obviously the truth, because it has good reasons why we have the option of divorce. It's really good and important. And we know that a lot, you know, especially in a lot of countries and relationship, there's so much abuse going on and so much disrespect that it is good, that, you know, so I'm
yes.
not saying, but it's just about, like, saying, also, like, but sometimes maybe it is good to really try hard and maybe to realize, why are we struggling? You know,
right.
why are we struggling?
Right.
And isn't there a way where we can start to maybe see each other again? Because I think, and I'm not saying, general for all relationships, but it's like sometimes you feel nowadays that we don't have any more of the patience
right.
to accept that things won't go, you know, if you want to live a long-term relationship, things won't go easy. It's not easy to live together, as you said. Just
I love that beautiful shot of, I think it's Bill and Norman's diving board in their swimming pool, and the line, dive forward.
Yeah.
It's so lovely, because isn't that the existential sort of choice we all face, right? Are we gonna step into this,
yeah.
or are we gonna, you know, stand back and just let life sort of happen around us, you know?
Yeah,
so marvelous. So would you say, Esmond, so you sort of say living in this sort of you know, living a fast life, and younger people maybe are not as committed. So you're raising questions about commitment and so on. Do you think that is the case, or is it that just maybe young people are a little more, maybe a little more discriminating, or they're just taking more time to find that partner, whoever it might be?
No, first of all, I think it's good. It's good to try out partners. It's good to, because I don't think it's something bad. But I think once you got to that stage where you feel like, actually, I want to spend the rest of my life with this person, you might come to the point where you feel that about another human being.
Right.
I think then it's just, it's important to realize it's not easy. You know, even if there's the biggest love in the world, and I think, and I hope most of us had the luck to have that experience. And I think a lot of people, even like very young people, do make that experience. And then you just have to realize, but this is not where, it doesn't stay there. It doesn't stay there. And it's okay. It's okay that it doesn't stay there.
Right. Different seasons, different stages.
Yeah, and it's all right to struggle. It's all right to question. It's just about sometimes also to relax from that. Sometimes it's just about laughing, right? Like, do you manage in a situation where you take yourself very serious and the whole situation, sometimes to step back and then say, actually, it's peanuts, it's nonsense, I'm just, you know. And I think sometimes we manage, and that helps in relationships, sometimes we don't. And I don't want to say something is better or worse, but I'm just, I thought, and I think doing the documentary helped me thinking, because you sometimes feel like, oh, I'm doing something wrong. Others
right.
do manage better.
Right.
Others
right.
do manage to keep the butterflies always
right.
going,
sure.
and they,
sure,
they're
sure.
still on cloud nine. But no, that's not truth. You know, the truth is we all struggle, but sometimes we have good moments together, and that's beautiful, and those are so precious then, because once you, it's a bit like going to a different level.
Sure.
It's a bit
yep.
like in a
yep.
game where you feel, right, okay, I can give up, or I can try to reach the next level, and the next level might be something unexpected, something new, something where you find out, because that was also one aspect which really touched me about the Japanese couple, is a lot of us experience once we get children, that it is really tough for the relationship, because from being two people who are in love with each other, there's suddenly a third person or fourth person coming in, and you become a family.
Right.
And for most of us, we struggle because, yeah, obviously, yes, it's something changing. But the Japanese couple, it was the other way around, because they were like, it was an arranged marriage, so they had difficulties in finding to each other, but once, especially the woman, him becoming the father, actually, she started to fall in love with that
right,
father.
Right, right.
And that was beautiful.
It was beautiful, and you really do bring out some really interesting and fascinating insights in their relationship, because of the four, you almost, it seems like they're the ones that were kind of, well, they were the ones that were, I suppose, mostly forced together. And yeah. It's like this, it was very, very practical. She didn't seem to want anything to do with him at all. and they were both, I guess, just so young and so, yeah. and so bound by their culture. That they and yet these lovely, marvelous scenes with their family, you know, today, and how they both have kind of, I guess, matured, I suppose, you know, along the way. And somebody recently, we were at a dinner party, Elizabeth, my wife, and I, and we were just talking about children and parenting and family life, and we were kind of, oh, isn't it wonderful when the kids are young, and you know, the opportunities, and and how lovely and wonderful it all is. And then one of the husbands, he said, you know what, every phase is wonderful. And I thought that was really wise. You know, because a couple of the parents were kind of complaining about their teenagers, right? And what a pain in the arse they all were, you know?
Yeah.
And I thought that was really wonderful, because for me, your film, too, is not just about relationships. It's about being present and this sense of just living life together. And that's just so marvelous and affirming. And it's something we don't seem to do that often, especially in this, you know, crazy... Again, you started out the conversation by saying we live in fast times. We really do.
Mm. Yes. Yeah. It seems like, you know, family, you know, we spend very less and less time, it looks like, and it's really difficult because it's like, you know, every that there's also the habit of, do I feel like I can concentrate on something? Do I feel like I have the time and patience to just really experience the other person? And I think most of us would say, honestly, I rush through my life. Sometimes I feel like I'm a bit like a little hamster in a wheel.
Right.
And you just feel like, could someone please stop the wheel, because I don't
That's
know
right.
how to stop it. And I think it's really about, as a human being, you know, do I sometimes manage that? Because those are the moments which stay with you, because most of the time, and I think most would agree, you look back and then you realize, where's the time gone? Where's the time gone? How come I don't remember so much of it? Or I remember this. So anyway, I think it's as you said, it's about being present, trying to embrace what life is, because it is very complex, and especially being in love and being in a relationship and, you know, starting a family, or, you know, it's such a complex thing to do that sometimes maybe we should just give each other a pat and say, great for trying. You know,
yes.
We're doing well for trying.
It's like there should be these, I don't know, cosmological awards given out every 5 to 10 years, right? For just getting by, right?
Yeah, you've done well so far.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love too the for me, one of the threads in the film that is this sense of humility. And all of these people, that these eight human beings, as you said earlier, just, they all have this air of humility about them, and their openness, and their, you know, yes, they're maybe stubborn in their own ways, and I'm going to build a bed out of concrete, which I thought was hilarious, by the way, you know, and I'm gonna wear my hat no matter what, and so on. But I love the scene with the German couple where, you know, he's convinced she has over 100 pairs of shoes, you know, and yeah, he actually, I didn't think he was going to admit that he was wrong. And yet, you know, on camera to you and to the world, he says, yep, I made a mistake. I blew it.
Yeah. I think all of them, but obviously all of them are different. But yeah, Mr. Rotheuser, he's such a, you are so fun. And that's
yes.
what I loved about, also she says, you know, he used to be so fun. And obviously you could see that's what she fell in love with.
Right.
He had like this great sense of humor.
She talks about his great sense of humor, yeah.
Yeah, he could admit that he's done mistakes, so which again made him even more sexy and funny, because cool, right? When someone says, you know, goes into a bet and it's like, ah, I'm going to prove you wrong, and then, all right. But so that's why it's so really touching to see how then they come to a point where she sees her partner and says, he's struggling with becoming older. I'm better, you know, I can accept it better, but I can see my partner struggling. how he won't accept that he didn't have much time left, and how he's like not accepting that. And it's so that, and I think that's why it's so that they are really very emotional moments. Also for me, standing there where I feel like there's someone who sees something, and she sees how he's struggling, and she tries her best to help him. But obviously, sometimes, we all, although we are couples, we also still are subjects who go through the life their own pace, right? Sometimes you feel like I'm at a different stadium right now than my partner is, a different phase of their life. That's when it becomes, of course, also challenging. Because I remember that she said, and that was that she's, she needed to finish things because she was facing, the last years of her life, and she knows that. So she was like doing her, do you say testament? Like her will. She
right.
did her
yes.
will, and she did chose the way she wanted to be buried. And he hates it. He just doesn't want to have anything to do with that because he feels like, no, I'm alive. I don't want to deal with this horrible thing about death. So that's, another thing where you feel like, how do you deal with that?
And sadly, we're going to have to bring our interview to a close here in a couple minutes. But for me, as I get older, it is about others, my children, my wife, my friends, and my family, and this sense of community. Because, Kierkegaard, the philosopher, the Danish philosopher, would say mm-hmm. that the degree to which we know somebody is the degree to which they've had an impact on us, to the degree to which they've shaped and molded us by their mm-hmm. behavior and the decisions they've made. And I think he was right. I think that comes out so beautifully in your film, because dealing with things like death, and you've said several times how difficult relationships and life and how complicated they are, but when you deal with it with somebody else, and whether or not you love them or not, I guess is another question that we really didn't get into. We didn't really define love, but I think in a sense your film has defined love to me. But when we do it with others, isn't it easier? Doesn't it make more sense?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because also you learn from others.
Yes.
You learn. It's just, as I said, you might be stuck with something, and then it comes to your partner, says something silly, and you crack up laughing and thinking, well, thank you for that. Thank you for helping me out of this catch 22 kind of blockage in my mind. And that's what sometimes we are lucky, sometimes we manage to help the other, to be there for the other.
Yes.
And sometimes we don't, but we should encourage that or embrace that thinking. Let's try it together. And it is definitely so much more beautiful going through life with someone.
It really seems to be the case. Listen, Yasmin, I hope we can chat again. I so loved your film. I hope everyone sees it. The Night of All Nights. It's touching. It's beautiful. It's wise. It's so full of wisdom. And what I love too is how you, and we didn't even talk about how you met these eight beautiful human beings. That's just in itself is remarkable to me. That you were able to cross these cultures and bring these worlds together in just such a remarkable way. So thank you so much for that. We've been talking with Yasmin Samdarelli today here about her film, The Night of All Nights. Can you answer one last quick question? How have things been going for you at Hot Docs so far, and are you here for a few more days?
Oh, it was really exciting. I just arrived the day before yesterday, and I will be back by tomorrow. So unfortunately, I can't spend much time here. But it has been, so far, really amazing. It was so interesting. It's such a beautiful festival and amazing people which you talk to afterwards in the lobby. And I'm having a really great time here. Thank you.
Wonderful. Well, again, thank you for time. Enjoy Toronto. Safe travels home. And thank you for such a brilliant film, The Night of All Nights. Chatting here with Yasmin Samdarelli today. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style. Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.